Hey there, y'all, and welcome back to another episode of Be Still and Run. I am your host, Allie Ann, and today I wanted to share with you three tips on how to breathe properly. So as runners, we tend to either hold our breath or we breathe in a pattern or a way that is labored or causes us to not be efficient. And since our brain and our muscles need oxygen to function properly, this deprives our body, drains us of energy, which then also affects our brains, which then we lack motivation and just a bunch of different things start falling out of place instead of into place. And in the Christian life, breathing properly can be looked at from the perspective of giving thanks. And I talk about these two things in the episode. And I really, even though we are on the seventh back to the basic, it still is huge in importance. It's not necessarily in order of what is most important. I would actually put this month in maybe the second category or the third. I would actually put your warm up as the first, and then maybe your core as the second, and then breathing as the third, just because it has totally impacted my life throughout the years. And depending on how I incorporate Thanksgiving and breathing properly, it really depends on, not depends, but it really affects my life and my efficiency. So thank you for tuning in. And if you are new, thank you so much for joining us today. We exist to encourage Christians to run the Christian life that they were called and created to live. We're supposed to be living the abundant life and not drained, unmotivated, and depressed like a lot of us tend to be. So I hope you enjoy today's episode, and I'll see you next time. So today I wanted to focus on the three tips that I have for how to breathe properly, both physically and spiritually. Just some things that has worked in my life and I have heard works in others, and you can always try them if you don't like them. Don't feel like you really have to keep going, but I do know that there is a ton of benefits and a ton of blessings that will come with actually doing these tips. So physically speaking, for tip number one is to focus on your breathing. So this, as runners, we tend to easily take short and labored breaths, and we don't really have a pattern in the way we breathe. We just kind of let our bodies do whatever. And a lot of times this can cause us to run out of breath easier, and then our bodies and our brain and our muscles are not going to get enough oxygen it needs to work properly. So a lot of times if runners are struggling with this, people will recommend going with a 3-2 pattern. So you inhale for 3, exhale for 2. Or some people will go with a 2-3 where you inhale for 2, exhale for 3. And this is like steps. So you inhale 3 times or 3 steps, and then you exhale 2 steps. Some people will do 4-4, 2-2, 3-3, and then 4-3. I mean, it just entirely depends on the person. Some people's lungs have more capacity to hold air and whatever. But one of the things that I do recommend is that you try to have an off beat if you are running. So like a 3-2 or a 2-3 instead of a 3-3 or a 4-4, because that will alternate the force of which leg is getting the impact when it hits the ground. Because when you are exhaling, you're not going to be able to hold your core as firm as if you are inhaling. And so then since your core is helping you not have as much impact on your feet, it's going to keep the impact switching and alternating between legs. So you have less I guess, less of a chance of injuring one side of your body instead of both, which if you injure one side, it's going to really affect the other. So spiritually speaking, this is giving thanks. So focusing on your breathing, so focusing on giving thanks. So not only is this actually a command in scripture, it is also part of God's will for our lives. And if I can get my thing to cooperate. One of the verses that really, really stood out to me in giving thanks is Psalm 6:5. And it says, "For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks?" And this kind of made me realize that there is an importance in giving thanks, because the one thing David pointed to in this psalm was that when we die, who's going to give God thanks? So it just really intrigued me that he would use that comparison instead of saying, who's going to glorify you? Who's going to do things for you if we die? He just said, who's going to give you thanks? So I just thought that was very interesting, and it made me realize not only is it a command and part of the will of God, but it's also very important to David, which was a man after God's own heart. So it made me kind of look into it, kind of study it a little bit more, kind of watch in other people's lives, watch and see how it affected the way I lived. And I have noticed a huge difference in the days that I give thanks rather than I don't. A friend of mine, we've been kind of off track a little bit, but we try to have a prayer meeting once a week over phone. And one of the days we really decided to just focus on giving thanks. We didn't want to give any requests other than right in the beginning when we asked God to help us be able to pray. We didn't give any requests. We just decided to thank God for whatever came to mind. And I'm not kidding you, but we were both crying at the end because we realized how much God was working in our lives and how blessed we were. And it just really impacted us in a sense that, why don't we do this more often? Why don't we give thanks? And it was like, it energized me. I don't know how it affected her, but like the next day I was like super stoked, like the entire day. I was so excited. I don't think anything fun was happening that day or anything unusual, but just the fact that I was like, wow, this is who God is and this is what he has done. And I do talk about a little bit about who God is in the next episode. Or I believe it's the next episode. But just the fact that the breathing is so important for a runner's body, getting that oxygen to our muscles so that they can actually work. Giving thanks is also equally important for a Christian's life because it's what gives us energy. It's what keeps us going. And so tip number two is to stop thinking about the circumstances. So for a runner's life, we are often told to focus on the mile we're in, to focus on just that next step if it's that bad. Just focus on taking another step, keeping going. I was just talking to somebody the other day, and they had not trained for an event that they were doing. I think it was like a 20-mile walk, and she said that she was crawling on the ground just to get to the finish line. I don't know if that was like figuratively speaking or not, but just the fact that she just kept telling herself, I'm going to finish this, I'm going to finish this. And so a lot of times that is what a runner has to focus on, is just keeping going, just taking that next step, just focusing on the 1 mile. I've heard some people that will pick a pole or a mailbox or something, and they're like, just get to that. And then when they get to that, their brain's like, okay, we're going to get to this next. And they just keep doing that, and it like tricks our brains into realizing, oh, this isn't so bad or whatever. It just helps give us energy to keep going. So For the spiritual part, for a Christian's life, I have noticed something over the last, I'm going to say, year and a half now, that has completely, I don't know, it's changed my motivation. It changes, it keeps away depression. It gives me energy. It gives me just like this joy and this peace in life, and just completely changes my perspective and everything that I do. And that is to seek God's face over his hands. So let me see if I can find this verse really quick. So 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." And I also then just type that in, what do you call that, a concordance, or I don't know. So it's just like the search for the Bible to see how many times the Bible said to seek his face. And there is actually quite a few, and I had never seen that phrase before. And so after I started seeking his face over his hands, and the principle of that is to seek a relationship with God, just seek him as a person. Seek just to be with him, just to be in his presence, over what he can do for us. And that has just been huge in changing my perspective and giving me energy. Just this morning, I took a 4-mile walk, and at the end, I was like, or I think it was the last mile and a half, I was like, God, I don't know how to seek your face and still pray. And he gave me like this idea that I just talk to him. So if I was talking to a friend about how to pray for me, I would be like, hey, this is going on in my life and this and that, and would you pray for me about this? And I was like, okay, so I should talk to God as a person and be like, hey, God, this is going on in my life and this and that, and would you do this, or just whatever. And I tried to do that, I think it was for like a half a mile before I lost it again, and I just like was trying to then just stay focused on keeping going because my feet have been hurting me. But just seeking his face over his hand, seeking a relationship with him over what I can do for him, has been huge in not thinking about the circumstances and just focusing on what's in front of me and just completely changing my motivation. And then tip number three is to remind yourself of Romans 8:28. So I'm sure everybody, if you're a Christian, knows what this says, but it's, oh, now I can't even remember it. But God works all things together for good to them who love him, to them who are called according to his purpose. I think that's what it says. But this verse was brought to my attention during a time, or not brought to my attention, but I was going through a really rough time. I broke down crying, and they reminded me of this verse. And because of the emotional state that I was in, I received it differently than I had in the past. And I was like, oh. And then I started remembering all of these things that happened in my past and how God had worked them for good. And I'm like, oh, I can thank God that he's going to work this for good. And thinking about what happened in the past, it can actually be kind of enjoyable. I have noticed over the last, I don't know, 6 months, that maybe 7 or maybe even a year, but I have noticed that I actually enjoy when the times get rough or when the times are hard or the circumstances are difficult, because it draws me closer to Christ in a way that easy times do not. And it's something about that perspective of, oh, God's in control. He could change us at any minute, but he has a plan. and he wants to use this for good. So for the runner, just realizing that everything that happens during a training run or during a run is going to make us stronger depending on how we deal with it. So when I was training for my first full marathon 2 years ago, one of the things I was very focused on was, because I didn't know how the weather was going to be, it was in the fall, I have allergies, I knew it could be raining, and since it was my first full marathon, I was like, I have to finish this. I have to go all the way to the end. There's no quitting. So I took every single instance that came up and I turned it into training. I turned it into something good. I tried to, if I had digestion problems, I was like, okay, so if I was in the race, what would I do? And I did that for everything. If it was raining, if it started storming, I was like, obviously I did not go out in a storm, but, so I used, like, if there was a storm coming, I used that as mental training because I'm like, wait, what if I don't get my run in later or whatever? So that marathon was, I'm not gonna lie, it was like super easy. Other than the fact my legs were killing me at the end, I didn't want to give up. I was wondering, okay, where's the end? Like, the end should be here. And the signs on the side of the route was saying the same thing. And I'm like, oh, thanks. It's like, I bet you're wondering where the end is. I'm like, yeah, I am. But just realizing that all of those circumstances was, I could use it to make me a stronger runner, really made that first marathon like super easy. I could have trained physically a lot better, but my body was not able to handle more. So my mental state, though, was super strong, and I was ready for any obstacles that came up to realize, okay, how can I take this and what can I do and all of that. I had really prepared my gut and my hydration and just all of that. Everything ended up working out really well. So those are the three tips that I have for how to breathe properly, and they have really, especially over the, oh, I can't say how many months, a lot has happened in the last few months, or the last 6 months now, but the more I really focus on implementing them and really focus on doing them in my life, like, my life is completely different than it used to be, mentally and, well, also physically, but it's mainly like mental and spiritual. So I would definitely encourage you guys to try and do these. And I have the list on a, I have a bug in my glasses and now I just smeared it. I have this on a list on a blog post, which I have the link below in case you guys need to look at it again. And I will let you guys go and pray you have a blessed week, and I'll see you next time. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Be Still and Run. If you guys haven't heard about The Simplicity of Christianity, it is a 7-part book that I wrote for download, and I'll have the link down below. I just loved being able to write this. I loved the analogies of it, and it is basically on how we are supposed to be living the Christian life so that we can actually live it efficiently, live it just joyfully. And it goes through and lines up with how my training actually went for one of the best races I ever ran, the half marathon, and all trails, technical trails. So it was a lot of fun, but I lined everything up with that. There was a lot of new circumstances that happened that God allowed to create the whole atmosphere and the whole outline of it that just made it a really, really fun experience and really taught me a lot. And I hope that it helps you guys. There is a page that the link down below will take you to. You don't have to read the whole thing, but it does explain a little bit more about what it is, or you can just go right to the book, which will be at the top. So I hope you guys will check that out and even let me know how you liked it. Let me know what you think. I really enjoyed it and I pray that it encourages you on how you can focus on the Christian life and live it to the fullest.